Today is National Girlfriend Day, y'all. So grab your gal pal of any gender identity and have some fun.
To kick it off right, comedian Vicki Eisenstein joins us to pay tribute to the women who have befriended us and made a big difference.
Listen as Vicki teaches us to talk like Jane Austen and we gasp in horror at how much booze the Queen of England ingurgitates every day.
Join us for this and all the hot news. Everyone's hot for the Queen's page boy, who's all grown up now and looking beefy.
Roseanne gets a reboot with a gender non-conforming kid named Mark.
And will the voice of the apocalypse be a peppy young woman?
I'm Fausta Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Duh.
Right now, you have Feast of Fun in your ears because for the last 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. If you like the show, please make a donation at feastoffun.com/donate. And if you didn't like the show, make a donation anyway to help us improve.
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Hello, 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 hello.
How's that? Can you hear okay?
I can hear you guys.
Is that good? A good level or is it too high?
It's a great level.
Okay.
Mark, is that right that the term girlfriend back in the day used to be she friend? It sounds like something we would make up.
It sure does sound like something we'd make up. But no, it really was. It was a, you know, girlfriend came around in like the 1800s, mid-1800s. But before that, and girlfriend used to be referring to like my friend who's a girl when I was kind of like young, like a woman would say that. My girlfriend is like a child I grew up with. But before that, it was, yeah, referred to as a she friend.
My she friend. I grew up in Puerto Rico, and women refer to each other as girlfriends because only men have friends in Texas.
Puerto Rico.
So
Texas?
I grew up in Puerto Rico, and yeah. So the only lesbians call themselves girl. Like a girlfriend is like somebody you're dating, right?
Okay.
Romantic riff.
And cómo se dice en español?
Bueno, mi novia.
Okay.
Novio or novia, right?
Right.
And so you translate that to girlfriend.
Sure.
And so I moved to Austin, Texas to go to college, and there's these two women that were kind of like butch, and they were like, oh, this is my girlfriend. And I was like, are you guys like romantic with each other? And they're like, oh no, that's just how we say in the South, because, you know, it's just a way of talking.
It's also like older people definitely use it like that, because my mother will say like, oh, I'm going out with my girlfriends, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry, I have to introduce you.
Oh, sorry.
So happy girlfriend day or she friend day back in the 1800s. Our guest today is video blogger superstar Vicki Eisenstein.
Thank you. I feel like, do you have the clapping effects?
You're our honorary girlfriend for the day.
And I'm so happy
to be. And since we're gay, we're your honorary girlfriends too, because gay men call each other girlfriends.
Except if you're gender non-conforming, then it's an insult.
You know? Oh.
Well, it depends on how you're performing that gender.
Speaking of which, Vicki, what gender pronoun would you like me to use with you?
Oh, I'm just a she, her.
Okay. Are you sure?
I mean, if you want to, like, I do enough improv where I will respond to anything.
You play a guy a lot of times.
Yeah,
improv, right?
I do. I'm on an all-female improv team, Improvised Jane Austen. I play a guy a lot of the time.
And Jane Austen took place during Victorian England when they called each other she friends.
Regency.
Fausto doesn't, you know, whether Elizabethan, Victorian, it's all the same.
Oh, it's all English.
Walk me through a timeline of British hoity-toityness.
Well, do you want to start with the Renaissance?
Sure.
We could do that.
What years are we talking here?
Well, you're talking about King Henry into Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, like Shakespeare. Yes. Thing like Shakespeare time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then after that?
This is the most misinformed podcast on iTunes.
So that's like the 1600s, and then you get into
Basically, if you want to know what is regency, like you had King George III, the Mad King, who we had the war
Alice in
with
Wonderland.
England.
1776.
Yes, and then America became its own country, and King George was like, ooh, boo-hoo, sad. And then were like, you're crazy, we're going to lock you up, and your son, the Prince Regent, is going to rule England, and that's why it's called the Regency period. And then after that, you get to like Victorian times.
And so there was this author named Jane Austen,
mm-hmm, yes,
who would write these very, they were kind of like, you know, she was the equivalent of a romance novelist of her time, because it was all these very, you know, books about romance and relationships between men and women and people being improper with each other.
Well, on the one hand, I will say that she basically wrote the first chick flicks. She wrote such good social satire, and it's just the relationships and the witty stuff going on in her books, and like kind of the feminist lens that you get through it is just so awesome that I recommend it for everybody to read.
And there was a lot of commentary on people's, like, what they thought was correct in manners in society.
The mores.
The mores and the manners, and how, you know, society is just kind of too rigid in many respects.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So Jane Austen wanted people to cut loose.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Well, I had no idea.
It was an examination on this rigidity and, like, why you know, the social structure in the UK is like that.
Miss Eisenstein, it's so nice for you to join us on Girlfriend Day for a spot of tea.
Well, thank you for having me.
I just came. Mark came out from the backyard. He was dealing with the poinsettia. What did you plant in the backyard?
Lemon verbena.
Verbenas. He had a flower in the back. Flower.
Those gladiolas.
Over there. He's implanted these gladiolas and they're full bloom. Would you like to take a look at them?
I would so adore to take an ambulatory glance at them.
So, in order to prepare for Improvised Jane Austen, mm-hmm. you and your friends actually sit down and actually read it, all these books.
We do. Sometimes we do kind of like a book club where it's like, okay, everyone, we're going to read Sense and Sensibility this time. So everyone read it or get at least halfway through by like this point, and then we'll have like a little discussion or whatnot. And sometimes we'll just go through and we'll read the poems of the time or what have you so that we can reference it during actual shows. And so that's nice. So we had a while where we were just like reading Lord Byron's stuff before rehearsals and things like that.
What are some of the like phrases or expressions of the time period that you like to, as your regular standbys?
Oh.
Like, you know, Mercy Me is not one of them, but, you know, so like Groovy would be the 70s and stuff like that.
Well,
to make you sound like you're a Jane Austen character.
We have a lot of fun with definitely, you know, talking about my gig, as because a gig was a type of like carriage or like a transport. So, you know, trying to learn like the names of those different things. A lot of times it really is just doing your best to use like a 3-syllable word instead of the 1-syllable word, you know, like because that's what it was at that time. Everything was very Latinate vocabulary. So the more that you can get something that is like that, the better you can do.
Yeah, it's amazing that that's one of the great marvels of the English language is you can have this little short tiny word in mm-hmm. English, but if you use the Latin derivative of mm-hmm. something that would have come in through the French, you could have like this big giant word.
Yeah.
And so you could really write 2 paragraphs and use completely different words and have the mm-hmm. same exact meaning.
They had this fascinating thing, pedestrianism. So
pedestrianism.
it's walking.
They had these competitions for walking where the gentlemen would walk and they would just keep walking and it was about their form and their athleticism and they just like
oh. And all the women like would watch.
Is it like prancer sizing? Do you remember the prancer size lady?
I don't remember.
You could search YouTube for prancer size, you'll get a real treat.
There was this older woman who just was like, this is how the exercise, you're gonna prance. And so she just kind of like prance along down
amazing.
And just act as though it was like this exercise, and like it's like fully like video conceived, like she paid a production company to do it, and I think she really thought that prancercise was going to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
I mean, it certainly was for about 15 minutes.
On October 30th, mm-hmm. every year is National Talk Like Jane Austen Day.
Is it really? That's awesome.
Yeah, and there's a website that dedicated to it, talklikejaneaustin.com.
Oh my God, are there some tips? How do you talk like Jane Austen?
Well, you just basically work these words into your language. So, like, we would say that Vicky's a quite an agreeable young woman.
Indeed.
Who's quite stout of health.
And character.
Stout means that you're not, you know...
What like is upstanding or...
Stout means healthy. Yeah.
Healthy.
Means, you know, that you're not a skinny bitch.
Well, you often talk about someone's constitution.
The constitution, yes.
Yeah.
Their continence.
Vitality.
And their visage. You can talk about their visage.
Another word is amiable, right? Mm-hmm. To catch one's eye, of course, you know. cocktail has a very different meaning, though, at that time period.
Ooh, oh, what did
I
it
hope
mean?
It means something sexy.
You're not going to go to a cocktail party until 1928, but you would have one to drink in 1806.
Okay.
So, I guess cocktail is not used as an adjective at that time.
But, just as a noun.
Well, yeah. Back in that day, like, you couldn't drink water. Like, you were just drinking alcohol all day long. Like, everyone was partially buzzed all the time.
Oh, yeah. It was either tea or you had to drink beer. Like, in the Middle Ages, they say that people just pretty much drank beer and ate bread.
And so you're not, you would not say you're, like, 25 years old. You would say 20 and 5 years old.
Yes.
And a raffish person is what?
Like
raffish.
Raffish, yes.
That's still a word we use. One word.
What is raffish?
It's a raffish,
like skinny and
vulgar. No.
Vulgar?
It's vulgar.
Oh. Mm.
And of course, scheme is to plan something and terrific.
I like this word. She actually invented it. Nidgety, which means trifling.
Yeah. And the last but not least, terrific is as an adjective. It's not like great and awesome. It's more like severe. Like, I have a terrific headache.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely heard that one. It's funny, too, because as you're mentioning these, I'm like, oh, yeah. At one point, I definitely like had to note this and whatnot. And now it's kind of like, oh, I just talk like I would in general with Jane Austen girls.
you turn the switch on in your head.
Yeah. It's not something that I think about. I just go into that cadence and then I'm like talking like that, you know?
Well, you know, on Girlfriend Day, we salute the natural relationship that gay men and cisgender heterosexual women, cisgender gay men and cisgender heterosexual women have sort of this natural bond. In elementary and high school, we sort of gravitated to each other and provided a lot of emotional support. And as adults in college, we certainly, you know, were probably the first people we came out to. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of heterosexual women, it's like their gay male friend is kind of a different voice in their lives that understands their predicament as people who are not equals in society. And so, Girlfriend Day is important for many reasons, because it's about like calling your girlfriend and be like, hey, what's up, girl?
That's literally the call I gave to Fosta today.
You did. You're doing voiceovers.
I am. It's so exciting. I finally got my commercial demo reel and my narration reel done, and I actually got a gig based off it. So I feel really great about that. It's kind of funny, though, because I made this joke, and I didn't put it on Facebook till today, but I made a joke. I was like, you know, I'm just going to put the objective on my resume and on my reel is like, I have few moral scruples and I will help in the downfall of society should you pay me cash money. And guess what the gig was for? It's for a law firm that is automating all of their lower level work. They basically won a technology award for this. And so
can you give me like corporate stone cold woman voice?
Well, no, but here's the thing. Like, they chose me my voice because they wanted to make it feel friendlier and more approachable, and they were worried that people are afraid of automation because it's taking jobs away.
So you're like, hi, I'm Vicky. What can I help you with today?
I'm the voice of the dystopia.
So the apocalypse is going to sound like Vicky.
Yes. And then I got this audition for like a huge agribusiness that was going through a merger, which again, it's like something where they're like, yeah, people are kind of afraid of this. So we're looking for like warm, friendly, approachable voices.
I also heard your reel and you do a voice that sounds like a mouse that was really excited about pizza.
I like cheese and pizza. Like that?
Yeah.
I forgot what they did on it, but I think I was excited for McDonald's.
They've done studies, like, you know, the gay guys who are listening to this are going, oh, God. But straight guys love high, squeaky female voices. It gets them, like, sexually aroused.
It's like dogs with those squeaky toys. They're just like, I can pounce on it.
Like this? Jeffy gets all excited. Look, He's like,
oh,
see?
Oh, yeah.
Your he's doggy. Like, oh, my God.
Something happened.
Well, that's in Korea, it's called aegyo. It's like when you put up your tone of your voice and you talk kind of like a baby. So it's kind of like, oh, oppa, namusange. Like that kind of thing is like really, it's a particular way of talking. Yeah.
And they're like, baby, come
you talk to that when you're talking to like a man? Or
yeah,
like,
okay. Yeah.
Like any man or just a specific man?
Oh, well, it's more like when you're talking to like an attractive guy or whatever that you want to like be all like cutesy. You know,
okay.
if the listeners could see me do my little shoulder shimmy, my cutesy dance.
But it is it's meant to sort of ingratiate you with a person.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, oppa, big brother, give me some food.
But I do find myself like, you know, if I'm dealing with a person who's really upset and I'm trying to calm them down, I'm just like, it's going to be okay. You know, I start sounding like a. What is it?
A concerned mother.
Morty and Rick and Morty. You know, it's like, Rick, I don't think this portal is a good idea. You know, let's go over here. Well, the new season's up. Yeah. Rick and Morty. Well, I mean, the first episode.
Okay. Did you watch the second, it?
Yes, I did. Yeah. It was awesome.
I've been watching Game of Thrones. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah. Who's going to sit on the Iron Throne at the end? Who do you think?
Who do I think?
Yeah.
I think Jon Snow is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have that feeling, too.
Yeah.
A lot of people think it's going to be Daenerys, but...
I want it to be, but I don't think it's going to be her. Like, I think it's... Yeah.
There's a video that you posted on the Feast of Fun Friends of the Show Facebook group.
Right.
Facebook.com/groups/Feast of Fun. And it's about how Game of Thrones is the perfect TV show for black people.
I've seen a few things like that.
Because it shows like how white privilege works.
Yeah.
And so like, this is how white people are. It's white on white crime.
And what was the relevance of the dragon lady who raises the dragons and...
Well, because she saves the black people, because of course a blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman's going to save the black people.
But then she makes them all fight in her wars and die to promote her empire.
Her empire. Because that's a Game of Thrones premise is every season is like, who's going to win? Who's going to...
And they're all like, the big joke is, but what do all these monsters represent? What do these dragons represent? And they're like, white privilege. So check it out in our group. And if you haven't joined the group, please join the group. A lot of people enjoy posting there and reading things. But, you know, I want to remind people it's called Feast of Fun for a reason. Keep the stuff fun and lighthearted if you can.
Yeah, we should probably start a Facebook group, like complain about Trump and Republicans. Mm-hmm. So then you can unfollow it because it's like it feels like when you go on social media, it's everybody. And news sites and everything, it's all talking about, even us, you know, yesterday on the show, the first half of the show, I mean, we try to find a fun angle, an artistic angle, a creative angle to the things that everybody's talking about, but sometimes it's really tricky. It's like, it's, you know, when it's the dominating news story of the day, the guy, the mooch quitting, and you know, it's just like new details pile up, but it's just like, to me, I'm just like, this is really just about us not paying attention to Putin and his ties to Donald Trump. But in terms of TV shows, Stranger Things is coming back.
Yay, I love it!
In October. Just in time for Halloween. It's going to be a what is it? Ghostbusters themed season with the kids dressed up as Ghostbusters kicking off the series. And
really?
Yeah.
And well, it's Halloween, so they're dressed in Ghostbusters costumes, because at the time the movie Ghostbusters would have been really popular.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The story arc is referencing the movie Ghostbusters. Mm. And then they I guess there's a lot of use of, as usual, of 80s music. Mm. And the trailer that's now on YouTube makes liberal use of Michael Jackson's Thriller and Vincent Price's ominous rap.
Will there be slime?
There is slime in the trailer. The policeman touches the tree and there's a little bit of slime.
Slimed.
And Roseanne, the TV show that made Roseanne Barr a star, they're looking to make a reboot and add a gender nonconforming child.
I'm very excited about that because, you know, it's like Roseanne was such a great show when it first came on. It was kind of groundbreaking in a lot of ways because, you know, beforehand we had all these, you know, almost like these idealized versions of the American family. And sure, Roseanne in some ways is idealized, but it really, you know, looked at the nitty gritty world of what it's like to be in like a Midwestern family and where things aren't so great. And so it'll be interesting to see how they do this. And it's interesting that the child is going to be named Mark because Mark was the one was Becky's husband, right? Mm-hmm. But the actor who played him died. And so it's an interesting way to remember him.
It's a tribute to him.
Yeah, so it's a tribute to him. Also, you know, but this kid is, I guess, going to be, this is what they say, is that he's going to be a 9-year-old Mark, will be gender creative. According to my spies, the casting call asked for a kid who can play sensitive and effeminate and displays qualities of both young female and male traits. And that's from entertainment writer Roger Friedman.
But Roseanne Barr in the past has said some pretty rotten things about mm-hmm. transgender people and was once quoted to say, if you're trying on clothes in the women's room at the department store and you have a dick, you don't belong there. Mm. She's a TERF or was a TERF at a certain point in time. Maybe, you know, now that she knows better, she does better. But
maybe
we'll see.
What's kind of interesting is just like, God, you know, that show just went full, like it was the first lesbian kiss, wasn't it? Or something like that.
Roseanne Barr had a first lesbian kiss on television with
Sandra Bernhardt.
No, with the blonde
Marielle Hemingway.
Marielle Hemingway.
Yeah. Oh, but Sandra Bernhardt played a lesbian on
yes.
it, right? And then Roseanne's mother ended up, like, her character became a lesbian.
Huh.
And
came out as a lesbian.
Came out as a lesbian. And then her daughter on the show, Sarah Gilbert, came out to be a lesbian in real life.
Melissa Gilbert's sister.
Yeah.
And now is a daytime morning zoo talk show host. Mm-hmm.
That's so crazy. I had no idea.
Huh. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Melissa Gilbert from Little House on the Prairie grew up to be best friends with the villain of the show, Allison Arngrim. And Melissa Gilbert worked really hard politically to unionize and organize actors. Mm. And
yeah, she was president of the Screen Actors Guild mm-hmm. for many years. She was going to run for office in Michigan, I think, but I don't know what happened with that. I think she dropped out for some reason.
And that's, you know, girlfriend day.
We could have had a president one day, you know, Laura Ingalls Wilder for president.
She would probably be a good president. I mean, in terms of like the celebrity, I'm always like, if you're a celebrity, you should not hold political office. Period.
Didn't The Rock, he was considering it?
Yeah.
I think he registered that he would or something. I think I saw an article about that. I have no idea. Don't ask
Kid
me.
Kid Rock, right?
Kid Rock?
Was it Kid Rock?
Yeah. I think Kid Rock is...
Kid Rock wants to run for Senate. No way.
No way.
And he could win because, you know, America's crazy.
America is crazy. What?
Jesse Ventura won as governor of Minnesota
yeah,
before.
He did.
You know, we have Donald Trump sitting in the White House at this very moment as we speak. So.
I remember the first years of streaming media on the internet, and one of the big events was Governor Schwarzenegger deliberating with people from the community and the you know, his desk in California, and he looks so bored. That's the thing. It's like these celebrities think that if they become, you know, hold political office, they're just going to become like, you know, they continue to be these rock stars. They can just march in, and the pacing and the time. But, you know, holding public office means talking to a lot of people you don't agree with, negotiating and making, you know, some unsavory deals in order to move society forward.
Or you can just, you know, tweet what you want to get done.
Yeah.
As though it's rule of law.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like they're not going to go through with that. The Joint Chiefs of Staff said no. Basically, well, that made absolutely
ridiculous.
No sense.
It'd be crazy.
And I guess because also would start a witch hunt.
Yeah, and it's smokescreen. It's like, how are you going to figure out who's trans and who's not?
Well, it's the people who are undergoing, like, gender reassignment procedures or therapy, they would be kicked out. But the people who are in the closet, they would start witch hunting and be like, are you sure you're a woman, Vicky? You're like, sometimes I feel like a dude. I play a dude and
Sometimes I feel like
Jane
a
Austen.
Hamster. I don't know.
Yeah, and so they were like, this is a terrible idea and it's not, you know, sustainable, and it's a and so, you know, everybody has come out against it. And once again, Trump is like, okay, he's the least popular president ever.
Good.
His mooch held the shortest. I mean, some members of the media are saying that 10 days, 11 days, but either way, it's the shortest time anybody in the White House ever had a job.
That's so crazy.
It's amazing.
It's so insane.
Vicky, you feel like you're a hamster sometimes?
I identify with hamsters so much. I did a little acting branding quiz, and I passed around with some acting classmates in a class once, and they said the animal I most like is a hamster, and I totally identify with my hamster, who I got a new one. I keep calling her she because they sold her to me as a she. That's what they had on there, and it's what the PetSmart employee told me. And PetSmart, you'd think they'd be smart, right? It's in their name. But no, Kiki is a he. One day I was like, oh my God, your butt is so big. What's the gestation period for a hamster? Did she get pregnant from that boy she was in a tank with? You know? So
I was like, balls.
I was looking online and they were like, everything was like, okay, are you sure it's pregnant? It might just be a boy. And I was like, what? And yeah, so I like picked him up. I started examining it and I noticed a little hamster balls.
And aww, I was like, oh my God. Balls.
Yeah, he's got these little balls that are like kind of funny and cute.
Are male hamsters, do they get like aggressive as compared to like female hamsters, or are they different?
I had a female hamster, Lady Macbeth, who she lived 2.5 years and she was really sweet, but she like had a strong personality. Kiki is like the most meek, the most timid thing I've ever encountered in my life. Like, will hide.
Abused?
I think Kiki was abused by that boy that he was in the cage with, because that hamster was like really big and really nasty. I picked up that hamster to see which one I wanted, and it hissed at me and it peed on me. And I was like, that's not my hamster.
I've had dates like that.
Yeah.
And then they still peed on you.
Did you continue going out?
No. That was it. Good. It was a hookup, really. It
wasn't
anything like that. Yeah. Why do you like hamsters so much? Because they kind of have a short lifespan, don't they?
But they're so cute and sweet, and like they don't require as much care as like, say, a dog or something like that. So if I have to go do a shoot for a couple of days, I don't have to worry about, like, I just put enough food in there and I make sure the cage is clean and it can go a week.
But they smell though too, don't they?
They start smelling after a week, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to keep them clean.
So who's going to take care of that hamster while you're gone?
Then, well, you see, my mom, it's her grand hamster, so she
my
gets the honor.
My sister's got a hamster, and she had one of those habit trails. Do you remember those? Are those still around?
Oh, with the tubes and stuff?
Yeah, with the tubes. Yeah. And she got one that kind of went around her room, and it was kind of fun.
That's what, Kiki wouldn't do that. Like, no? I put her in the ball, put her in the hamster, or him in the hamster ball, and he just sits there and grooms himself.
It. Just when he's in the ball, just kick it and get
it. And then he's like, and then he just sits there like, what the hell is going on?
I always was fascinated, like elementary school classrooms that had those, you know, tubes everywhere. But they're never scurrying around them. They're usually sleeping in some remote part of the tube.
Well, because they're nocturnal.
Yeah. And so you're like, there's no show. There's nothing to see.
And if you went there at night, you would see it.
Yeah, and when are kids going to school during the day?
Just wake up during the day and play around.
Yeah, if you force them to wake up, they'll wake up.
And the kids are like, hey, wake up.
Because they change with, like, the people, you know, how the people go. And so they'll get attached. You know, they're not going to sleep all day and be up all night, are they?
Yeah, well, it depends, yeah.
Yeah.
How attached are you to your hamsters?
Like, I mean, I love them.
How many do you have? Just one?
No, I just have the one. But, like, I've had a hamster or a gerbil for most of my adult life.
And have you named them different names? Or
yeah.
Are you, I mean, like one of those old ladies that, like, the dog dies and she just gets an identical dog and gives it the same name?
I kind of thought about it, but then I was like, no, I'm not going to do it like that. So, I mean, I've had I had a gerbil named Severus after the Harry Potter. and I mean, I've had just Lady Macbeth. Comet was a hamster that I had. I can't remember. I had these two gerbils once that I really did not take good care of, and one ate the other one.
Where did it start?
This was, I was in Korea and I was doing a language program and I was also out partying all the time and I just was not paying attention to these things and I think I didn't feed them. No, I'm a horrible person. Oh so God. The one ate the other, and then I had like an ant infestation, and like ants started crawling in there and eating up the dead carcass too, because you know it didn't eat the whole thing. So I was like, ah! It was like the scariest, worst thing.
So it's true. Like if you're in a cell with somebody else and you're both starving to death, the other person looks like a turkey leg.
Are you asking me if I would eat you?
In cartoons, right? Yeah. You know, like the mirage happens and the like, person you're talking to looks like a sandwich and you're like, they start nibbling on your ankle.
The Donner Party.
Yeah, but he wasn't starving to death.
They were, right?
He doesn't know what the Donner Party
is. Oh, I thought you said Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the back in the day.
These people that got trapped traveling out west to California. They got caught in the Sierras, I think, and they didn't know where to go. They got like marooned in there with the snow, and so they ended up just eating each other.
Yeah,
I think they found some of the remains of them too, or something.
Gross.
I know, it's disgusting.
Didn't the creators of South Park make a musical on that story? I think so.
Sounds like something
that was their first one of their first films. Yeah,
that's so funny.
South the, Park.
They say though, like when a person Cannibal the musical. Yeah. They say that when an animal, like when you die in your house and you're stuck with your animals, a dog will wait 2 weeks before it starts to eat you.
And a cat will go right at it.
2 days.
What? Yeah, 2 days. That's good. I'm gonna be an old lady who gets eaten by her cats.
Or your hamster.
Cats are my hamster. Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's why old ladies have cats, because they know that they're gonna die alone, and the cats will just eat everything.
Yeah, it's like a back to the earth sort of thing.
Or to punish the family for ignoring them.
Yeah.
Be like, well, now you don't get an open casket. You have to, basically, you have the ring.
Aw, dang.
The hamster ate everything but the gold
old
ring.
Auntie Sara Lee. At it again.
You're been cast in Shadows of Hidden Hill web series as a possessed woman.
Yeah, it's so exciting. So this is my first time doing the horror genre. Yeah, I'm a method actor, so I went to a funeral home and I just kind of hung around at night and waited to get possessed, and I used that experience. Yes, and I used that experience and my sense memory to recall that while I was filming the scene.
And so basically just like freaking out, or do you like it's like Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost, or
well, basically, so the whole idea was that my father had died, and then I heard something, and so I wandered down into the basement of the funeral home because that's what people do. And when I went down there, I got possessed by this spirit ghost thing, and she was like having me talk to the main character in the series and be like, I had to like mutter all these words that are part of the like the Lord's Prayer out of order, and then I had to get like louder and louder and be more crazy, and I took out my contacts so that my eyes wouldn't focus and so that I would be like more crazy.
Because when you act for film, you're really acting with your mind, not just theater actors have a really hard time adjusting for video.
It can be different because, like in theater, everything has to be bigger and everything is like, does it translate to the person in the back of the room? Whereas for film, it's the camera is right there. So you can do as small of a like tiny little lip raise as you want and the camera will see that. Whereas, you know, in the theater, it's like, you have to be big.
Yeah, I noticed that with a podcast, like if there's something subtle happens, like the audience picks up on it.
Yeah.
And you think
it's a very intimate experience.
They're like, and I think that's like one thing that I noticed, like a lot of the corporate podcasts, they're just like, you know, they're sort of talking at you from behind a glass wall. Whereas sort of the microbrewery like us of podcasting, we have a personal relationship with the audience. You know, we know them, we interact with them, we invite them into the home. We're a part of their lives and they're a part of us.
Do you guys read like fan mail on air and stuff?
Sometimes. I read something yesterday from somebody calling Fausto out for his hatred of Tobey Maguire and Spider-Man.
I didn't hate him. And the worst Spider-Man is Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield agrees with you.
He sure does. Now, Vicky, you like to drink, right?
Yeah, I love drinking.
All right. How many drinks do you have a day on average?
I mean, well, that's kind of because there are days when I don't drink clearly. But if it is a day where I'm drinking, I'm going to say, like, I usually drink two or three at least, you know, if I'm drinking.
Because there's an article coming around that says the Queen of England. Guess how many drinks she has a day?
I would do a conservative guess of like probably like one, like maybe a glass of wine at night, you know, because she's the queen.
They say that on a regular basis, she has four drinks a day.
That's like,
can you guess what she's drinking?
What is she drinking? What?
So she starts out, her first drink of the day is right before lunch. So she has a little bit of an aperitif, and that is she has gin with Dubonnet and a slice of lemon with lots of ice. Dubonnet is kind of like a liqueur, a flavored liqueur.
Okay, okay.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
What does it taste like?
How to describe it? It's you know, it's not like a, it has like an herb.
It's like vermouth.
Something like that. Yeah, very
it's
much
like
so.
It's like adult-like tasting.
Adult-like taste. Mm-hmm. Something.
It's not like grape.
Something kid wouldn't like, you know, yeah. But it's there. And
this
so,
tastes like grandma.
It tastes like the queen mum.
So it's a sweet aromatized wine-based aperitif is what they say. Okay. So yes, it is very much like a vermouth. And then during lunch, she'll actually have, you know, a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of lunch, or also with lunch, she'll have a dry gin martini.
Mm.
And then later, I guess her mother was famous for drinking martinis. And her mother drank even more than she did.
Really?
Yeah. Her mother was, they say, was like, she just loved to drink.
She was drunk most of the time.
Yes.
And you could tell.
Mm-hmm. And at night, she'll have a glass of champagne before bed.
I love that. I need to start incorporating that into my lifestyle.
Now she's 91 years old, and I'm just kind of like, I would imagine, I wonder if she finishes all of this or if her body can just kind of tolerate it, because her sister Margaret was famous for partying. Like, she was a real party monster.
Well, the other thing too is it's so spread out, it gives her time to like process and metabolize through that alcohol, you know.
I don't know, it's like three at lunch,
four drinks in a day on a regular basis, I'd be dead.
That's considered binge drinking.
Yeah. In a day? No, binge drinking is like going out tonight and like pounding it. Like, she's really spreading that out. There was one that was before lunch and her last one's before bed. That's a lot of hours that it's spread through. It's because, like, you know, if you drink one drink and then you're like, okay, I feel slightly buzzed, but you don't drink anything like right away, then you're going to lose your buzz.
And she is having lunch.
Yeah.
And I guess at lunch when she eats alone, she doesn't eat any starches. So she's on a no-starch diet if she's just eating lunch.
I don't understand quite why she feels like she has to have a side of mashed potatoes if she's with company.
Well, you know, because if, like, she doesn't want, you know, because people are going to eat and so not everybody wants to have that no-starch diet.
Yeah, it's like my friend who's, like, paleo or whatnot. It's like, you can't make everybody eat your diet.
Yeah.
So, like, wait, hold on a second. So the Queen of England is paleo?
I mean,
it's booze. Booze isn't paleo. That's not paleo. Sugar. Yeah,
is it not? Because my friend who's paleo definitely drinks.
No, it's grain. All that stuff is grain based.
Sugar. Yeah, so she's not. Content. Yeah.
But, you know, her sister was a big partier, and her sister's health really deteriorated, you know. But her mother was a big drinker, and so her mother lived to be like 102. So I think, you know, some people just have the constitution the for it.
They do have the constitution for it. Oh.
Not just a document, but it's about your body and its ability to withstand illness and fatigue. And what is the term they loved using when you have vitality?
Vigor?
Vitality.
Yeah. Vitality.
Everything gave you vitality, like radiation pellets that you swallowed.
Oh, God.
Uranium pellets gave you more vitality. Mm-hmm. You got yourself into a shoebox that gave you, you know, x-rays for vitality and all this.
Okay.
Like, it was all, you know, there was all these weird devices and poisonous things that people took in the turn of the century that they were all like, because they were concerned with their vitality. Their humors.
Well, now we just drink green juices.
Well, and so, like, I'm surprised that the Queen of England, when you're loaded and you're basically, no one's gonna throw her ass in jail. Mm-hmm. Like, why is she, like, snorting lines of cocaine and eating edibles and...
Well, you know what? Her sister was certainly probably did a lot of cocaine and partied in the day, you know? So, you know...
And how are they getting cocaine up in the UK? Like, the you know, does the government provide it for them? Or is they getting it from a pharmaceutical company?
You just get it the way you get any kind of drugs, illegally.
You smuggle it in.
What is the drug dealer dealer for the Queen of England look like?
I don't think she has drug dealer. I don't think she...
Well, her assistant has.
Well, she probably just has... You know what? You probably can get... I'm sure somehow you can get a prescription for cocaine some way. Because they used to be able to give... They used to give prescriptions for... I think you can, but it's really... It's a super controlled substance.
I'm sure if
substance.
You talk to Prince Harry, I'm sure he's got a hookup.
So if,
I want to meet. I want them to do a series. I mean, or a fictional series, like you know, Jennifer Saunders on the drug dealers of the rich and famous.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting because it's like sometimes you know it's a class clash because we've all bought drugs, right?
Yeah.
And you know sometimes it could be a class big class difference between you and your drug dealer, and then when you run into them in public, people are like, "How do you know that guy?" I'm like, "No, oh, I don't know. I saw him. Whatever, you know, that kind of thing."
I just my go to. Is always like they're a fan of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
people always go, "How do you know that person?" I'm like, "They're a fan of the show." Mm-hmm.
It's perfect.
And so, somebody who's making the news too is the Queen's former page boy, who is her great nephew. So it's her, it's Queen Anne's, or I'm sorry, Queen Margaret's grandson. And so here he is, it's like back in the day.
Damn,
you know, it's a little tiny little boy. He's a page, he working as her page, and then his Instagram account, which is now private, but some people did some screen caps. Like this is what he's posting.
Hello,
Arthur Chateau. He's a sexy little hunk.
Oh, man. Yeah. Hey there, page boy.
Arthur Chateau?
Arthur Chatto.
That's an unusual name. Couple errands you can run for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's not the last we've seen of him.
No, I'm sure we'll see more and stuff.
So does he want to be like a physique model or something?
Well, he's 23rd in line for the British throne.
Oh, get on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just search for his name on the internet. There's tons of photos. There's a really sexy photo of him blowing a bagpipe.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I got something for Arthur to blow.
This is like a child, isn't he? Yeah. I mean, is it? Well,
he's 18 now.
Yeah.
He's legal.
If you got guns, you can go to war.
I guess the Queen gets woken up every morning by somebody playing the bagpipes for 15 minutes.
Oh, God, that's horrifying. Yeah.
But you know what's cool?
Now, why does she need champagne to fall asleep?
The other thing, too, is she doesn't get up till 9 a.m. either, so.
What time does she go to bed?
I don't know. I would probably imagine she probably gets a good 8 hours sleep, so she's probably in bed at like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
You
know? Everything I know about the Queen of England, I learned from watching that movie, The Queen. My imagination. Yeah, she actually did. She loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I doubt that.
Yeah, no, the Queen of England acknowledged that she felt like there was a very fair and honest portrayal of her.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
Yeah. What was the name of the actress who played her?
I might need timestamps on that.
Yeah.
You want the receipts? Just Google it.
Was it?
Helen Mirren and Queen Elizabeth. I think she even gave her an award or something. Dame Helen Mirren because of it.
Oh, I don't know. Because Helen Mirren's father was a very anti-monarchist.
I have a feeling that's not going to happen. See, basically, this podcast is us Googling
But things. I think it's interesting that Anthony, you know, he's got this Instagram, he's got these photos, they start making the tabloids, and then all of a sudden, like, the Instagram thing is private. So I did request to see.
Did you? Did he accept it?
Not yet, but I hope so. Maybe someday.
Well, I think a lot of people, like, you put things up on your social media, and it's no big deal when you're not, like, under an intense public spotlight. But as soon as you get, like, more people than usual searching for it and writing comments, it can get scary of like you feel overexposed even though you were always exposed like that.
Sure.
To clarify, Helen Mirren, the movie The Queen Elizabeth has not seen it, but she did see The Crown, Netflix's new series, and really enjoyed it.
Oh, she did?
Yes.
Oh.
So that's where I got confused.
I feel
I'm sorry.
The Queen's like opening up more in her older age, right? And she also said that her favorite song, like her favorite disco song or whatever it was Dancing Queen from ABBA. And she says that every time it comes on, she feels the need to dance.
Really?
Because she's the queen and it's her song.
Dancing Queen.
I know, right?
It is her.
But she actually said that at a dinner party.
Doesn't ABBA have its own, like, the country ABBA comes from?
Sweden.
Sweden has its own royalty.
They do, yes, they do.
So, they're not talking about you, lady.
Well, Well, it's also Dancing Queen. She's only 17. It's anybody could be a Dancing Queen. See.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Young and I believe
the Swedish Queen is from Brazil, actually.
Who is?
The King of Sweden married a Brazilian woman.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know Princess Grace? Grace Kelly of Monaco? Uh-huh,
yeah.
He married her. I mean, he was hot for her. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But she had a lot of money, and Monaco was broke.
That's why?
And they got married because she basically financially saved the country.
No way. Is that right?
That's the truth.
No way. So crazy.
And this is the thing. It's like all these royalties, like nobody tells them no. No one's going to say, fuck you, you know, to throw their ass in jail or whatever. So they can just do all the drugs. And I'm like,
you keep going back to
this. This is why, because there's a new study that says that beer, the beer industry, like Budweiser and all that shit, you know, they're going out of business because millennials, they're young folks.
Yeah, we're killing all
these
industries.
All they want to do is eat edibles, smoke pot, and drink wine.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also, wine, and then the craft beer industry has certainly taken off. No one wants to drink shitty beer when you can have something that's better.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, too, millennials are into smoking pot, too.
Yeah.
Because they feel like it's probably better for you than actually drinking beer.
I'm not smoking, but I'm vaping.
Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the 60s, the hippies were way into pot, and those people continued smoking. Don't tell me they didn't.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
When I worked at a bar, a valet said, I was kind of surprised. He was an older guy, too. He's like, these older people, they pull up, and their cars just reek of pot. Mm-hmm. You know, and you think of, like, it's just like young kids smoking pot. He's just like, people of all ages do, of course.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm. Vicky, it's a pleasure. Vicky Eisenstein, it's a pleasure to share Girlfriend Day with you.
Yes.
You are a good girlfriend for us and for other people to have.
Yeah, I'm
available
my
for
hours.
Rent.
I've got open hours for my office. Just hit me up on Twitter, Vicky Ironstone, and we'll have girl talk.
And if you want to hire her to do a voiceover acting, you could do more voices than just Chipmunk, Vicky, and Concerned Woman.
Oh, Concerned Woman is my favorite.
What's that like?
What sort of side effects will this have for me?
You'll be fabulous.
Because when you're doing like voiceover work on the radio, it's not like they're asking you to like be like, "Hey, everybody, I love going to Chuck E. Cheese Pizza where the food is delicious, yuck, yuck." You know, like
at Moo and Oink.
Moo and Oink.
I do some calls on the radio every once in a while. Like, they'll need people who are like the first people. Like, because once you have your first respondents, other people will start calling in. So sometimes they do have actors call in to be the first people to be like, "Oh, you know, I got in a fight with my friend once and I don't agree with what you're saying." And then they're like, "Call the station and weigh in on the issue." So,
because you also get hired by radio stations all across the country to pretend like you're a trashy woman who has relationship issues with her boyfriend.
I've done this, though I don't think I'm supposed to be talking about it. So let's not talk too much about it.
I feel like we've had other people on the podcast talk about it,
I think it's in the contract that I'm not supposed to put it on my resume or something, so I don't.
This is not your resume.
Allegedly.
This is a podcast among friends.
This is fiction. Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of generous support of fabulous people like you. The information that we present on the show does not reflect any news or opinions, or we're just making all this shit up, or it could be true. It's up to you to determine. Go on the internet and find out.
That's right. Retweets are not endorsements.
I want to remind folks that this podcast is made possible because of you. If you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus.
I'm excited about tomorrow's guest on the podcast.
Ooh, I am too. Are you going to announce it or is he going to curse it?
Well, the thing about it is we don't like announcing it, but, you know, she's an old friend, Christina Bruce. She competed as a male bodybuilder for years and then transitioned, and now she's this amazing female bodybuilder. And she's gonna be in town and we're gonna meet her in person in the home studio.
Yeah, we've never met before.
She's obsessed with Garrett's caramel popcorn. And so for one Christmas, Mark and I just said, "Hey, let's make some caramel popcorn and send it to Christina." And she's like, I love Garrett's popcorn. And so we started making this caramel popcorn, and we couldn't stop eating
it. It's so addictive.
It sounds good.
Because it had butter.
Sugar.
Brown sugar. Vanilla. Caro syrup. And it was just like drizzled on this popcorn, and we put it in the oven. It was just like luscious. If you go to our YouTube channel, you can see Mark and our intern, Ryan Burdick, making ginger peanut butter caramel popcorn.
It's delicious. I'm afraid like Christina's going to come in here because she's a bodybuilder. She's going to be like She-Hulk or like the Hulk and be like, puny humans. Or she's going to force us to like do push-ups or something that we're not ready to do.
I keep
seeing Fosta's gym photos. Yeah, you post a lot. Yeah.
That's actually what I do in the morning to get started for work. I try to get up to 50, but I'm around 45.
Push-ups?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And you think like 45 sounds like horrible and awful, but if you're well rested,
you can work your way to it.
It's not that bad. That's not hard to do.
Do you do the plank?
I should do planks. I was doing them for a while, but I got bored.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep doing it.
Cher says at her age, 72 is she?
Yeah.
She can do a plank for 5 minutes.
That's awesome.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
She's doing good. Yeah.
Well, for people who are wanting to do the plank, I haven't experienced this, is play some music. Because you're more likely to stay in that pose if you have a song that you like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I play Sanford and Son.
Well, I do it where you're on your forearms, like you have it right there. Yeah. And then you can put your phone right there and kind of be flipping through social media and stuff. Like, it's right in front of your nose, right? Mm-hmm. So it kind of helps with it, too.
That's good, yeah. I mean, you know, so that's how you check your... you know, Twitters and Facebooks.
Oh, no. No. I do this like once in a blue moon. I'm like, I should do plank more. I've been doing Orange Theory Fitness, actually. And so I do most of my work out there. But every once in a while, I'm like, I don't have time to go to the gym today. I'll do a couple things.
Yeah, it's little things that make the world different. Yeah. And it's friendship. Friendship is what makes the world go round.
Aww.
Happy Girlfriend Day.
Happy Girlfriend Day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back.